Good morning. I'm Chris.
Chris.
And I have the blessing of being in a home meeting with these two guys and about 70 other guys. So imagine 70 times what you just heard. It's a pretty amazing place. Tim's there and Roger. And I was just sitting here listening to these guys today and the big word that just comes in my head this morning is joy. I've been in the program now for a little over 9 years. I have to tell the truth too, because Kim was in one of my first meetings, so and she's heard me share, so I can't lie. You know, I can't, or at least I can't. I have to repeat what I said before, so I make sure I'm consistent. But no, it's been 9 years, which is amazing to me. And one of the most amazing things is that terrible, agonizing time it was 9 years ago that when I got in here, I sort of have trouble identifying with it anymore. It's a long ways away. It's not completely true, but a lot of times I reflect on it. I sort of have to remind myself, so I keep, working the program, go, what did I come here for? Because things are really so much better these days, and life is so much better, and a lot of it is because my attitude's changed toward the good days and the bad days, the tough stuff. I just deal with it a lot better with these tools. But 9 years ago, it was miserable. I didn't grow up with any alcoholism clearly around me. I found out later that I had gotten good Al-Anon training because there was a lot of depression in my family and people-pleasing, so I had learned some of those great skills, growing up without the benefit of alcohol, which I put to good use then when I got married. I was married for 28 years, I think, something like that. And it's kind of hard to figure it out because it dissolved over many years. And we've been going through a divorce process for 3 years now, and it's about to end, fortunately. But I can think of a lot of good years and a lot of great times. I was very grateful for the family I've got. I have three boys, and we just had a lot of wonderful years. And then it just started to degenerate. And I didn't have a clue as to what was going on. I remember, I was just telling a fellow I sponsor about this last night. We were going through this, and I said that I finally called up our doctor one day, ostensibly to set up a physical, and talking to the nurse, I said, can I talk to the doctor? And I just unloaded on him. I said, I don't understand what's going on. We've been in for a million tests. Nothing comes back positive. I don't know what's wrong with her. She's just so hard to deal with. She gets these rages. I'm getting crazy. I'm blowing up. What the heck's going on? And there's this pause, and then he says to me, Chris, she has physical problems, but nothing will get better unless she stops drinking. And I had no idea that he said, do you see her drink? I said, well, I don't want to come home from work. I see her with a glass of wine, but nothing unusual. Well, how many times? Well, every day, but... that there were just these weird behaviors that were going on that afterwards I understood to be alcoholism. Finding bottles in weird places, isolating by herself, and realizing later she was out on the patio frequently and she was drinking there. But she wasn't a falling down drunk. And I remember into the program a couple of years when I was still doubting I was in the right place, two or three years. And going, God, I'd hear somebody's story about their husband or wife, crashing cars or kids or whatever, and going, God, I wish my alcoholic was like that, because then it would be clear. Then it would be clear. I'd know exactly what I was dealing with. If they were dancing on the table at parties, and then I'd know what I was dealing with. But I didn't know what I was dealing with. Even when I was starting to understand, I still, I'd have trouble believing it. So because the denial was a big part of what was going on, So my sponsee, that's been a great change for me, as I have somebody, a younger guy I've been sponsoring lately, and he called me last night about, you know, not feeling, kind of feeling kind of out of place. Like, do I really belong in Al-Anon? I said, let me tell you, I still have that feeling, you know, and it, but I should know by now that I belong, and because it's just worked so well. No, for no other reason, because it's worked so well. And because I have so many people that share in a meeting, and they share what's on my mind, and I pick up the courage to change and find something exactly that I need to hear. You know, I have one of these, and it's got like 20 colors of highlights in it now from 9 years of going through it. And every year, there's something different that pops out in that. But so that's life was miserable, and I got to the point. The bottom line was, I finally realized I was getting suicidal and homicidal. Absolutely, clearly, and that scared me. I was sane enough to realize that something was really wrong with that. And it was this house, the picture-perfect house on the outside, white picket fence that I built myself, and, you know, and all this stuff. I mean, in a lot of ways, on the outside, everything was perfect, but the closets were a mess. You heard that story. And the, you know, there was this misery going on, this absolute, and I was sitting there. I thought, from now on, I have compassion about any of these stories I hear about domestic violence and all, and go, you know, I was this far away from it. I was that far away. And I had enough sanity to pick up a phone and ask for help and get to a psychologist who handed me the number of central office. And but I had no clue. I didn't have any idea what Al-Anon meant. If I'd heard about it, I had no idea what it was. I went to my first meeting and mistakenly went in the AA meeting and spent about 20 minutes there. And then at the break, they kindly, you know, when I explained talked to them a little bit, they said, oh, you mean the other room, you know, that's here, we'll take you in there. And I've been there ever since. Like I say, that's a long ways away. There was this amazing moment. John mentioned about compassion. Both these guys are talking about compassion. I remember this day real clearly where we had a fight, or there was something that was very contentious, and the usual poisonous statements came out from my wife and her disease. And instead of reacting to it, instead of arguing with her for 45 minutes about how wrong she was or anything else, I just let it go. And I just sat there and said, I'm sorry you feel that way, and I have to go back to work. Goodbye, and have a good afternoon. And walked out to the car and sat down in the car, and I realized for once, instead of feeling hateful and feeling like she's getting what she deserves and all that crap, all it felt was, I thought, and it was the statement I'd heard in the meeting, that if that's the poison that's coming out at you, you can bet they feel 1,000 times worse about themselves. And all I could feel was, God, I felt so bad to have somebody I loved and realize they were going through that. And I just, I sat there and this burden just lifted off of me, and I drove off and I felt fine. You know, I was like, the rest of my day is going to be fine. And that was my burning bush moment. You know, that was really, I could still remember. It's like I could remember the whole picture of that day and that moment. And the program really helped. And the big thing there was, I love the analogy that, you know, when one person puts down the racket, the tennis game is over. You know, and that's exactly what I did. I quit playing the game with those 45-minute agonizing phone calls or going home to get, you know, and getting in the arguments and stuff. I just, nope, don't want to do it. Sorry you feel that way. And that worked for a while. But then there was a day where it didn't work anymore because it wasn't working for her to not have the game, you know, and in her disease. And I finally had a day where, even though I hated to leave my son in the house, that was a big reason, I just said, I got to go. You know, I have to leave, and moved out, and I just started building a life all over again, and life just got progressively better. Just things started going well, and opportunity. I was recognizing that doors opened up, you know, opportunities opened up. We had a big layoff at work, and I literally got told, even though I'd been there for like over 20 years, like, you don't have a job number, anybody's at risk. You know, and I was shocked to hear that. And then I was looking around, and they offered me something that was kind of a demotion and a long ways away, and I thought, what the heck, I'll try it. And a couple of my friends looked at doing that and said, no, it's not for me, and ended up getting laid off. And I looked at it and went, I'm going to give it a try. What the heck? You know, it's going to be a lot of change. And it was agonizing for a while. And then I it worked. And it turned out to be about the best opportunity I had in my whole career, was going down there. And it opened up other doors where I was down there doing it. And they said, oh, you're pretty good at this. Why don't you do this? And got some more responsibility. So my job opened up a lot of possibilities. And it was because I could take the risk, you know, to take a change like that. See it, go ahead and try it. And it wasn't just at work. It was other places, too. I'd see it. I'd found a spiritual program to go to. And I walked in a lot of doors. I'd been in so many meetings where I didn't know anybody, you know, that I got up the guts to go to some church I'd never been to before and go, oh, what the heck, you know, go in and sit down for a service and, did I like it? You know, take what you like and leave the rest. Very important in church. Take what you like and leave the rest. I love that, you know. They don't know I'm doing Al-Anon when I get in there. But anyway, and so I found a couple places that really worked for me, you know. And one of them kind of worked for me for a long time. And then it sort of changed and wasn't working for me. And then I found another one, you know. And then I found another one. And it's just been a great place. You know, I go there. It's part of my spiritual program. But again, and meeting people. A big thing was opening up. And again, learning it in the meetings, like be able to talk like this. Man, I never did that my whole life. My family never did that. And here with the help of these guys, you know, I started to be able to take the risk to sit there to somebody at work or somebody in the meetings and open up about what was bothering me or what was going on with my kids or something cool. And you know, be scared about what are they going to think of me now, and then turns out it would be okay, you know, it'd be all right to share like that, and they'd share too. And so that opened up a lot of possibilities. Let's see, anything else to tell you about? Well, just life is a lot better now. I was always sorry that my kids, it's kind of happened too late to get my kids into doing Al-Anon, but there are times when, and they each are completely different about how they deal with things. But the one son in particular is very much in Al-Anon. He's had some terrible relationships that I can see a pattern that, you know, I'm very familiar with. And he's come to me, you know, like he wants to talk. And he won't go to a meeting, but he'll come to me and talk. And he has some friends who have some great wisdom too from whatever their experience is. And I've been able to sit down and feel good about the fact that I'm sharing the program because, you know, one night now he wanted to go to a movie and he's going through a breakup. And he came over, and so we went to the movie, and I was falling asleep toward the end. You know, he's 28, and I'm over 50, and so I'm falling asleep, but saw most of the movie. We go home, and like 1 o'clock in the morning, he started to talk. So I said, okay, fine, well, you know what, this is what Dad's got to do. So, we talked for the next hour, and he opened up, and I shared with him, and I didn't give him advice. You know, I told him about my experience, strength, and hope, because I know that's a good pattern to do. And I know it helped him. You know, I could see that it helped him. And he talked about how that has meant it made a difference. So that's been really good. There's a lot of changes, a lot of positive changes, a lot of changes all the time in my life. And I accept change now that's going to happen. Or I try to. I still actually, my whole life I've had a kind of a problem with that. But I'm getting better at it. It's, you know, because I've seen so many good changes. You know, coming in here was a big one. To these rooms and seeing all the good things. So I can bite my tongue or bite my lip and go, okay, you can get through it, it'll be okay, and get through the door and then discover there is great stuff on the other side. You know, there's lots of possibilities open up. The sponsorship's been a great thing for that. It's the first time I've really done that in any detail. So that's been great. And that the literature, I love the promises. I tell everybody, when I walked in, understanding ourselves was my autobiography. You know, I thought somebody was looking over my shoulder to write it. And now, what Oscar quoted from, the promises, which are in here, you know, page 269, I think it is. And I read the whole thing, and I remember the first time I heard somebody read that, and it just choked me up, because that was my life now. You know, those things are coming to fruition. And it's because I stuck around and kept doing this for 9 years now. And so it's just an amazing thing that's happened here with everybody and all the experience I've had. That, as I mentioned, joy, you know, that was the word to me. There's a page in Courage to Change, and I think it's like a month ago or something, but it's always stuck out to me because there's a line in there about we have an infinite capacity for joy. You know, It's like it doesn't have to, you can keep pulling it in. You can take as much as you want. You can build on it. You know, there's an abundance if you work at it. And even though life has the terrible side, you don't have to focus on that. You know, and that's what I do then. As I just, that makes me feel so good. It's like a challenge almost. Okay, let's see how good we can make it, you know. And I can start my day over at any moment and look for that joy. So I can't really begin to say how much of a godsend it's been. But I see it in myself. I see it in the people in meetings with me. And it's just a real pleasure to share it. So thanks for letting me share with you. Thanks, Roger.